mornings, they're a blank slate. They're an opportunity to start fresh, and there's no secret formula for starting the day right. Early risers, night owls, you are equally valued. Speaking of mornings, we're early birds here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is high time we talk openly about this time of day. Benjamin Spall is a writer and co-founder of the website My Morning Routine. It's a growing archive of hundreds of interviews with people on their morning routine, and dozens of those interviews are culled in the new book he's co-authored. It's called My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. Benjamin, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Kate.
So you've talked with hundreds of people about what they do to greet the day. Why get nosy about what people do with their mornings?
Well, we think that there's something very almost like voyeuristic about it. You kind of you get the information that you need. You get like these little tidbits that you can kind of try out in your own routine. But it's also kind of just fascinating to sit down and read through a book or listen to what people do every single morning.
Did you find a lot of variety is out there with what people do?
Yeah, you know what? The strange thing is there is a lot of variety in what people do, but there's not a lot of variety in like how they do it. So a lot of people, whatever they're doing, if they decide to kind of work out in the morning or do some meditation or, you know, just try and get some work done, they kind of often do it for a very short amount of time, especially in the beginning of their morning routine, because that's a great way to kind of stick with it. Because, you know, like if you decide you want to start going running every morning and you just immediately start running for an hour, that's kind of going to be unsustainable for most of us. But if you decide just to go for a kind of 10-minute jog or do a 5-minute meditation, that's something you're much more likely to stick to over the long term.
Oh yeah, a little toe dip, just making it right. A little more accessible, right? So what is your morning routine, if we may ask?
Of course, yeah. Well, I have to say, it's a little earlier than I would normally get up. I'm in San Francisco, so right now it's about 4 a.m. But I... it's a little, but I'm powering through my morning routine regardless. We actually have, in the book, we have General Stanley McChrystal, and he mentions that he normally actually gets up at 4 a.m. as it happens, but he says if he has to get up earlier, he kind of just powers through his morning routine all the same. But personally, I usually get up at about 7:30, and I normally come into the kitchen. I do a few push-ups. I do some jumping jacks, and then I usually do just a 10-minute meditation. And the reason I just do 10 minutes is because even though I believe I would get more benefit probably from, you know, in half an hour or something, but 10 minutes is really easy to fit in. And I know that if I do for some reason miss it in the morning, I can usually get it in later in the day or in the evening. And yeah, my one rule in the morning is to make my morning as calm as possible. So, for example, I do not keep my phone in my bedroom overnight. I keep it in the kitchen. And when I come into the kitchen, if I can help it, and if I don't have any, you know, early morning meetings or calls, I actually don't turn it off of airplane mode. So I have it on airplane mode all night. And then if possible, I don't turn it off of airplane mode until I kind of leave the house. Because I think that's a great way to kind of stay present while I'm cooking breakfast and just sitting and eating with my wife.
How did you develop your routine, and has it changed over time at all?
Oh yeah, it is definitely changed over time. It's it definitely before the website, and even while we've been doing the website, it's definitely got better in terms of I've been taking the ideas that we've been getting from people. So for example, the not checking your phone in the morning, that was an idea that I was hearing time and time again. And it wasn't actually until last year, actually, my wife bought me a nice analog alarm clock for our bedroom. And I was like, what is this? No. I was like, okay, now I can actually, now I can actually finally, you know, I don't need to use my phone as the alarm anymore. And now I can, you know, put that in the kitchen and we just have a regular alarm in the morning.
Oh, right. If you use your phone as an alarm, it's really hard not to peek at it, not to look at those push notifications for sure.
Exactly. So many people, and I used to be like this, I'm not judging anyone, but so many people would just wake up with their alarm, which is their phone, and immediately just like kind of hold it an inch or two from their face and occasionally drop it. But yeah, you have all your notifications and it's very hard not to look at those because, you know, they're designed for us to be like intrigued by them. So it's much easier if you can just use a standard alarm clock and keep your phone out of the bedroom.
Are there some common themes that run through all of these hundreds of interviews you've done, some common morning routines?
Meditation is surprisingly common, and it was much more common than I thought it would be when we began the project. But I would say, like, similar to me, you really do not have to do it for a long amount of time to get some benefit from it. And I certainly get benefit from just those 10 minutes. And also, I would say working out comes up a lot, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in the morning. So the biggest benefit we saw is actually people who do any form of exercise at all. It doesn't really have to be every day. I'm sure it's better if it is. But if you get some exercise in, that could even be in the afternoon or in the evening after work. That kind of helps with every other part of your life.
We're talking right now with Benjamin Spall. His new book is My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. You can join in the conversation. What's your morning routine? Do you prefer waking up earlier than you need to, or do you hit the snooze alarm till the last minute? We know you're out there. 800-642-1234. How do you craft your morning routine? How long have you stuck with it? Join in the conversation. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Benjamin, really a morning routine seems to back up to the night before, because a lot has to do with how many hours of sleep do you get. What if it's a choice between getting more sleep and developing a meaningful routine? There's a give and take there.
There is a give and take. And I would certainly say that if you're feeling like you're not getting enough sleep, I would prioritize sleep first. They say the majority of people need between 7 and 9 hours of sleep, and there are people who need a little less, but they're very rare. And we say in the book, like, just because we say 7 to 9 hours, that doesn't mean 7 hours. You actually may be at the higher end of that, at 9 hours. And I'm personally at 8. I'm sure I could benefit from a little more as well. So if you're not getting enough sleep, however important a morning routine is, I would say try and fix that as much as possible first before trying on to create a morning routine.
Can you have a very short routine that is still beneficial? What if you're really speedy about getting out the door?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we talk about this a lot. It's very important to, if you have time for a routine, it's good to actually do something short than trying to just do kind of one element that's longer. So the very short workouts, there's a popular workout right now, I think it was by the New York Times, called a 7-minute workout. And actually, it's surprisingly hard. It's like hard, intense working out in your home for 7 minutes. But people mention that a lot. And that's a very short thing that you could fit into your morning. But even if you have less time than that, you can just choose to do like 10 push-ups, or like I mentioned, the jumping jacks earlier. And you can really condense your morning routine and still get a lot of benefit from it.
What advice do you have for people who have a really hard time waking up early, getting up early?
Yeah, so we mentioned the alarm trick that I just mentioned. So keeping your alarm outside of your bedroom, and that way, if your phone's your alarm and you keep it in the kitchen, for example, as long as that's not too far away from your room, and you keep it on a very loud setting, you will then hear that as you're in your bedroom, and you have to get out of bed to turn it off. So that's always kind of a funny one. But we also mentioned several things, like even something funny like getting a dog. If you don't really have a dog, that's a great way to wake you up in the morning, because they're not going to let you sleep in too long. And also, in general, we suggest not snoozing your alarm. We do suggest having an alarm, because most of us can't do without it, even if it's just as a backup. But when you snooze your alarm, it's kind of like you're already starting your day at a loss. You're kind of saying, I don't want to do this right now. So we suggest, instead of snoozing your alarm, just pushing your alarm as far back as you can get it, and then just waking up at that time.
So you, knowing that when that alarm goes off, you have no leeway. Right. Like, it's
you have no choice.
Yeah, you have no choice but to get up.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Some mornings can feel really unproductive, especially with we're running late, we've misplaced the keys, can't find the other shoe in the closet. I mean, the list goes on and on. What have you learned about starting mornings when they haven't gone right, and how do you work out of that problem once you've had a rough morning?
Yeah, we don't like the approach where people are like all or nothing. So we like to see if you have like one solitary missed day or two missed days in a row, don't really see it as a setback, and kind of embrace those moments and think, okay, it's not going so well today, and just remember the bigger picture and get back to it tomorrow. And that's kind of all you can do.
We're talking about our morning routines here on The Morning Show. The senior editor of Fortune magazine, he's a huge believer in 9 hours of sleep and crafting a to-do list every morning to identify the most important things and then forcing those things to get done first, actually crossing those hard things off first. The book is My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. Author Benjamin Spall stays with us. You can share your morning routine at 800-642-1234. Do you follow the same routine every day? Why do you get up at the time you do? What do you make time for? When are you most productive? 800-642-1234. You can also post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll get back to these morning insights and hear about your morning routine. That's coming up after this news update here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about how we start our day on The Morning Show, regardless of whether our days start at sunup or sundown. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Neuroscientist Daria Rose says that mornings prime your brain for how it will function for the rest of the day. She says she keeps her mornings simple and uncluttered. We asked some of our colleagues at WPR to share their morning routines. Here's what Stephanie Elkins, host of Morning Classics, does.
So I wake up very gradually. I have an alarm clock that's not a normal alarm clock. It simulates dawn. It's a more gentle way to start the day. And then I get up and have either coffee or tea, and I read. And then once I finish my coffee, I actually meditate. I use a phone app, and I do not read my phone first thing. That has been hard. And that's my morning routine, and it is wonderful. It's a great way to start.
We're talking with Benjamin Spall. His new book is My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired, and he maintains a repository of them at My Morning Routine. Share yours at 800-642-1234. Do you write a to-do list? Do you brew coffee? Maybe you meditate, or you have a walking or running route with your dog. What happens if you don't follow your routine? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Benjamin, Sharon emailed and said, I love getting up early and starting my day, whether it's during the week or on the weekends, but my husband is a night owl. Can you talk about the challenge of a successful morning routine when couples have really opposite schedules? Sharon says, my ideal morning would start at 5:30, my husband's would start at 9:30, and we live in a small house, so making noise early is an issue.
Yeah, no, that, it's surprising how often that comes up. We mentioned in the introduction that my wife is a night owl. I'm more of a morning person, and we actually live in a small studio. So it's quite difficult, to be honest, because I'm falling asleep by kind of 10 p.m., but she'd much rather go to sleep at about 1 a.m. So yeah, it's very difficult, and it's surprisingly common. But from less anecdotal evidence, what we've looked at through the data is that it's just good to actually just kind of, if you can, just get up early and don't feel like your morning routines have to cross over that much. But kind of let them cross over a little bit, because both of you are kind of have to make that change. So for example, if you like to go to bed very early and he likes to go to bed very late, you're going to have to probably go to bed a little bit later than you want, and he may have to go to bed a little bit earlier than he wants. But if you make that compromise but still allow yourself to have that time in the morning by yourself, that's the best way to go.
As I was going through your book, a lot of people I found drink a glass of water right away, but there was also a lot of to-do lists going on. Can you talk a little bit about the to-do list?
Yes, yeah, so we advocate actually writing this the evening before, ideally just before you finish work, because it's probably not the most conducive to sleep thing to be writing in bed, like kind of on your phone. But yeah, we advocate writing it the evening before. And the reason for that is then when you either sit down to do your morning routine, or if it's more of a work to-do list, so as soon as you get to work, you kind of don't question the items on it as much. And even though things always need to be changed around depending on what has come in, it's great to have that the evening before, so then you can kind of just get right into the first item.
And that, I think it was Fortune magazine, he was saying, do the hard things first.
Right. And like he mentioned, and I completely agree with him on this, it's incredibly difficult to do that. And we all know we should be doing the hard things first, but I don't have anything against anyone who struggles with that, because I personally struggle with that very much myself.
Okay, so what if you've got kids around? We know that kids can also be a great alarm clock, or perhaps multiple alarms through the night. How can we incorporate some of what we're talking about here when there is family in the mix, especially kids?
Right. Yeah, no, so we definitely mentioned we don't want to kind of sugarcoat it. It's definitely much harder to have a kind of a positive morning routine, when you have kids that are waking up at all times. One thing that we do like to say is, if this is possible, and this certainly isn't possible for many, but if it's possible, try to wake up before your kids. And that time you'll have that little bit of space to yourself. It could even just be half an hour. But if that's not possible right now, you just kind of have to get through it and remember that your morning routine will change over time. And that's for better and worse. And another thing we like to point out is that kids thrive on routine. So if you can kind of make a routine for yourself and for them, and then kind of add that extra half an hour on for yourself just beforehand, that's a great way to kind of just set them up for everything, school and life. So that's how we like to look at it.
I really liked the one interview you did with the co-founder of Twitter, who starts his day playing with his son.
Right,
just
right.
Some good Lego time.
Yeah, that was a beautiful interview, actually. I just emailed him out of the blue, and I was expecting it to be much more, executive and business focused. But it was a really nice interview to conduct and to read afterwards.
Miller in Eau Claire emailed and said, I'm a high school student and our family has breakfast together every day at 5:30. My parents' work schedules mean that we can't have dinner together, so we start our day early and it's just routine now.
Yeah, that sounds nice. I personally, to me, that sounds better than having dinner together. To actually have that breakfast time to speak about the day ahead, I do that with my wife, and it's a really nice way to start the day.
What about adding exercise to your morning routine? And what suggestions would you have to layer in an element of exercise?
Mm-hmm. I would suggest to start very small, and to also decide to do it after something that you already do. So for example, we talk about habit stacking, which is a great way to begin your routine. So for example, we all already have a morning routine. For many of us, we just get up and then we go to the bathroom, then we'll head into the kitchen. So we like to think of it, so if the habit previously is going to the bathroom, you can then decide, okay, after I've done that, I'll come out, and then I'll do like a very short exercise. This could be the push-ups, jumping jacks, that 7-minute workout I just mentioned, and just do it for a very short amount of time. And you may even not be getting much benefit from it there, but over time, if you're sticking with that for approximately a week, for example, you then may want to increase it or add a different type of exercise to it. And it's just, it's all about kind of the snowball effect, just adding to it over time until you kind of get to your limit.
Another thing that a nugget I pulled out of the book is that if we don't have to make too many decisions, that we perhaps will be a little bit more able to do the things we really want to do. What about decision fatigue, as you call it?
Yeah, no, decision fatigue is a real problem, and we've all experienced it. And it's kind of a combination of not being able to make decisions and also making bad decisions that you know that if you're feeling more yourself, you wouldn't make those decisions. And the example we put in the book is, if you're in a checkout line at the supermarket, there's all the candy and all the snacks around you. And the idea there is you've just been spending however long, in 20 minutes, half an hour, going around choosing between all these different brand names for your shopping. And by that point, you're kind of so tired and so from all the decisions you've been making that you'll just kind of put some candy in your shopping cart. So we say that about mornings, and I think it's Rebecca Soni who mentions this about how if you keep as if you make sure you make as few decisions in the morning as possible, that's a great way to actually keep those decisions kind of handy for like more important things. And many people mention kind of just wearing a sort of uniform every single day, and then you don't have to choose what clothing you'll be wearing.
Or at the very least, lay it out the night before.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Another thing you said was setting out your running clothes in the bathroom, like the shoes and everything. And I thought that was an aha moment.
Yeah. We've heard that so many times, and it's so you can set out your clothes the night before with just whatever you're going to wear to work. But a great way to massively increase the chance of you actually working out or going running is to set out your clothes, set out your shoes, and then you kind of wake up and you may have even forgotten that you're planning on working out, and you see it, and in that moment you're just like, ah, what have I done? But then you kind of feel like you're like, oh well, I guess I have to follow through with it now. And you're not going to follow through with it every single time, but it's going to dramatically increase your odds.
Benjamin Spall's book is My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. You can join in the conversation. We're curious about the phases of your mornings. 800-642-1234. Do you go to bed at a set time? Do you wake with an alarm? Do you press snooze? What about checking social media or checking email? Is looking at a screen part of your morning? What about the dogs, the kids? Do they factor in, and how so? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Benjamin, what about people who work night shift, third shift, middle of the night? Do the same principles that we're talking about here apply regardless of when you start your morning?
That's exactly right. We say how you don't have to be an early riser. And when we refer to morning routines in the book and on our website, we're referencing the time between you waking up and either leaving your home or transitioning to the next part of your day. So if you work a night shift, for example, your morning routine may actually start at 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
What about eating breakfast first thing? Is it okay if you start your day without a good meal, or is that really important to eat your breakfast?
Yeah, this is something that we didn't cover as much just because it's not our field and we didn't really want to say one way or the other. I'd say the vast majority of the people we spoke to do eat breakfast. Some don't. General McChrystal, who I mentioned earlier, he says he doesn't, almost every single day, he doesn't eat anything till dinner, which I don't know if I can handle that. But yeah, I'd say the majority of the people we did speak to eat breakfast. It's often kind of a high fat, high protein situation. But yeah, that's what we found from our data, at least.
Yeah, well, there are a number of people just starting their day out with a glass of water, which I thought was something that wove through a lot of these interviews.
Yeah, it's common for that to be someone's first drink. Often someone will have coffee or tea afterwards. But yeah, water was definitely the number one drink that the majority of the people would have straight away.
So what advice do you have for people who are traveling a lot, who have, like yourself, you're in San Francisco, you're mm-hmm. on a completely different time zone. So what are some principles that you put into place to stay in a to have still a sense of routine?
Yeah, so we propose, and many of the frequent travelers that we interviewed for over the years for the book, we propose that it's entirely possible to keep your morning routine in place when you travel, or at the very least to have a travel-ready routine that you can use on the road and always know that it's with you. So the way that we think about this is if your morning routine is already quite simple, that makes having a travel routine that much easier. But the way we kind of talk about travel routines is you just kind of want to make everything much, much shorter or much simpler. So, for example, if you're in a hotel room, that hotel may have a gym, but you may even be waking up earlier than the gym is open. So you can kind of just work out in your hotel room, you know, do some push-ups. You can often incorporate like the bed frame or the chair to some sort of working out apparatus. And we also say that if you know that you sleep well on a plane, it's a good idea to kind of purposely choose flights that so you'll be sleeping overnight as the plane lands, and then you'll land and you'll be able to begin your morning routine there. But if you know you do not sleep well on the plane, we recommend kind of traveling throughout the day, maybe like arriving in the evening and then having a full night's sleep, so you can then perform your evening routine from your hotel room or wherever you are.
Yeah. What about if you enjoy a running route in the mornings and you are in a completely foreign place? You have no idea where or whether you want to venture out, but you don't really know where to go.
Well, I can't speak to this personally, but I know that many people I know, an author at the same publisher as mine, he was recently on book tour, and he just runs wherever he is. So he'll look up on a map on Google Maps or something, or one of those running apps, and yeah, he just goes for it. You can often see with those apps popular routes, so you know you're not going kind of, you know you're kind of in a general area that people normally run. And I think that's great for people who enjoy running, but often in different cities.
There was one interview you did with the former head of the Vanguard Group, and who is up by, 5 o'clock-ish, but in the office by 5:45. So I thought, A, this person lives very close to work, or B, that morning routine is very abbreviated.
Yeah. There's some people, and it's often executives or like high level business people, is they will either perform a little bit of their routine at home and then continue on at work, or they will go straight to work and perform their routine from there. And I think that's the case with him. He'll get up straight away and then he'll just go to work. And he does have an interesting routine where he kind of slowly and calmly gets into the day. But from what I understand of it, it all happens once he's at work.
So working out during the day, like fitting it in after some meetings, is that an option as well?
Absolutely. And that's personally what I do. I apart from my, my brief push-ups and stuff, I much prefer working out kind of at lunchtime if possible. As to me, it gives you more of a lease of life for the afternoon. And so even though we point out these different things in the book, like morning workouts and morning meditation, a lot of it can happen at different times of the day. For example, some people find that the most creative time to work and to write and to do anything is first thing in the morning. So to work out at that time may kind of be a waste of those talents. So they prefer to push their work out until later in the day.
What about checking email first thing? That was email came up a whole lot during these interviews.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, we understand that some people have to. And like I mentioned earlier with my own situation, if you have a early morning call or meeting, you kind of have to. And it's a shame, but we can't miss this. But if possible, it's always good to not check your email first thing, or at least for like half an hour or something after waking up, because then you're kind of... Email is really neutral, and it could be very good or it could be very bad, but either way, it's not going to keep you in that kind of same calm state after waking up. So we recommend checking it a little later.
You interviewed a number of tech executives, though, who certainly do their fair share of social media and electronic screen time before they head in.
Yeah, the book is to be honest, it's a lot of contradictions. You kind of read one routine and it's like, don't do this, and you read another routine, it's like that person does exactly that. And the idea there is we didn't want to push one idea over the other. We kind of wanted to show that just having a routine is the positive, and if it works for you, that's great. So we like to show that kind of everyone's different, and some people do have to check this thing, or some people do this. But we like to show that everyone's different, and it's just a nice calming experience that you can have in the morning.
And there's some experimentation with morning routine. It can evolve over time, can it not?
Yes, and we talk about this a lot because it's very important to understand that you should be in charge of the evolution of your routine. So often our routine may change in that we just kind of fall out of it over time. But actually, if you're doing something, for example, meditation, let's go back to that. If you're meditating for 10 minutes every day, you decide that it's kind of not working for you. You're one of those people, you're like, I'm not enjoying this. We suggest sticking with it for a week or maybe even 2 weeks. But if you're really not seeing any benefit from that, we're perfectly happy for you to take that out and swap in something else. And we think it's important not to stick with something because you're not enjoying it, but at the same time, kind of give it a chance, because it might just be that it's difficult in the beginning.
Benjamin Spall's new book is My Morning Routine. He's the co-founder of Twitter. Wakes up each day, and the first thing he does is play with his son, Legos or Minecraft, a morning ritual. We're learning about the morning routines of people from all walks of life here on The Morning Show. Curious about yours at 800-642-1234. You can share, and we'll be back after this news update on the Ideas Network. How fitting that we're talking about morning routines here on The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Chirkand. I, for one, have had this internal clock that has been set to about 3:58 for quite a long time. I just set an alarm just in case, of course. It's set on vibrate so I don't rouse anyone else in my household. My clothes are set out the night before so that I don't have to turn on any lights except for the bathroom light. I go from the shower out the door in about 20 minutes by 4:23 is about the right time. The key is not to turn on those lights, so I keep everyone asleep. And I like to jog the couple blocks from where I park to Vilas Hall to get my heart pumping. Some of our colleagues around WPR talk to us about their morning routines. And here is Susanna Michaels from Development.
Well, first off, I set my alarm to WPR, so I wake up to WPR. And then the first thing I do is actually my most ritualistic thing of the morning. I empty the dish rack, and I really have always liked sorting things, and so that's this sort of moment of zen for me. The next thing I do is about 20 minutes of yoga and stretches. If I can, it's very best to also get some exercise before I start my workday, and so that's my morning routine.
Benjamin Spall is taking this all in. He is co-author of the book, My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. It's a Q&I style interviews with 64 people on how they start the day. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you eat the same breakfast? Do you set out clothes the night before? Do you set an alarm? How do you begin your day and when do you begin? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Benjamin, I thought it was interesting that Susanna Michaels there likes to sort things. And so she gives herself that opportunity first thing in the morning to do something she likes.
That was funny, actually, because I was just thinking emptying the dish rack is one of the least likely things I'd like to do in the morning. But when she mentioned the moment of zen that she gets from it, it completely made sense to me.
And, you know I divulge my morning routine, but there are some people who really have to keep it quiet on their way out the door. What advice do you have for them?
It sounds like you did it perfectly. You mentioned using your the vibrate feature on your phone. You could also use those kind of, you know, the Fitbits and stuff like that, because they often have the alarm feature. I don't use those now, but I did previously, and they work very well for just waking yourself up.
And I also, you know, I keep it so dark that I'm using the light on my phone to navigate, you know, that laser focused light to make sure I've got everything that's all set out. So, and it's not really until I walk out the door do I see street lights and I see some, you know, some signs of light. So darkness is really a big issue for my mornings. Mm. And I would suspect it's an issue for people who start their work later in the evening or at night, like 11 p.m. night shift.
Yeah, no, it completely. And for people who are starting the night shift, I would say as much as possible, just get as much light in your face as you can. Because if you've been doing this for a long time, obviously your body does adjust, but it's still very difficult for people to, you know, wake up when it's, wake up when it's kind of getting darker outside. I would say with your example, it's kind of funny. It sounds like you're just very nice, because I think I would turn all the lights on. But yeah, if you're working a night shift, you need that light. And with you, even though you're getting up early, you'll get the light soon enough. But yeah, it's difficult, and our bodies are kind of, they're not designed for this necessarily. So we have to kind of help ourselves with artificial means.
What tips can you give us to achieve a perfect night's sleep?
Yes, there are so many things, and I have to say I went through quite a lot of them last night to be ready for this interview. But one thing that's very important is the most important thing is to kind of give yourself the time that you need to get in 7 to 9 hours. So even if it's just 7.5 hours, kind of aim for about 8, because that way you have, you know, a little bit of time to get to sleep. But yeah, there are certain ways to give yourself the perfect sleep environment. That's having a dark bedroom, having there be less noise, and generally having your room be a good temperature. So even though you may not enjoy having a sleep mask on or using earplugs, I would say just try them out if you've never really used them, or if you've previously used them and not particularly like them. Try them out again, because they're such a great way to actually get a good night's sleep. And if you're worried about not hearing your alarm, then either use one of those vibrate alarms or just put your alarm up very high. But yeah, another great way to fall asleep is to warm yourself up in the evening. So that could be taking a bath, taking a shower. And it's not the act of being warm that helps you fall asleep, but it's actually when you get that hot from a bath or shower, your body very quickly cools you to bring you back to your core body temperature. And that act of all the energy that's inserted to cool you actually makes you very sleepy and makes it much easier for you to fall asleep.
Are there particular routines as you talk to people that get them awake and aware very quickly, that get their mind just very sharp and get that fuzzy feeling off?
Funnily enough, the one thing that really, really helps people is the one thing we don't propose, which is checking your phone immediately. If you just can't wake up, kind of a good way to do that is to put that kind of bright white rectangle in front of your face. That'll quickly wake you up.
So what is it, coffee or tea? Did you find more coffee drinkers or more tea drinkers?
We did find more coffee drinkers, and we didn't really say anything either way about it, because especially as it's the morning, so it's like if you stick with a cup of coffee or two in the morning, you're probably not going to feel that the next night when you go to sleep. But definitely coffee was slightly more popular. Some people drink decaf, some people drink green tea and stuff like that, but I think just pure coffee was the most popular choice.
Benjamin, how do you know when your routine is suffering, that it needs a shakeup, that it needs a change?
I really like the idea of kind of looking at your mornings from above. And so if you kind of like you're looking at someone else, but that person is you. And if you see this figure that's kind of like running around, like really hurried, and he's like, you're spilling coffee on yourself and checking your phone, that's probably a sign that you need to change things up. And when that happens, just kind of think, what would you like to bring into your routine? So it could be working out, it could be meditation, it could be anything that we mentioned in our book or elsewhere. And when in that situation, I would definitely say just add one thing into your morning at a time. Because if you add many things at once, you're very likely to just drop all of them or drop some of them. So yeah, just add one positive activity into your morning at a time and go from there.
How can we embrace non-routine moments in our morning routines where, you know, we want to do something different, or perhaps we have to do something different?
Yeah, in those situations, we just say go with it and be kind to yourself and think, even if you had like 5 minutes to do your routine and it definitely doesn't fit into that time, just think, it's okay, I can come back to that tomorrow. And so many people beat themselves up when they miss their routine or miss something else. And that's very unhealthy. And especially if, let's say this is because you're traveling, especially if you know you're going to be back home in a couple of days, just go with it and try and keep healthy habits anyway. Try and get enough sleep. But for the most part, just don't worry about it.
Since you started the morning routine website, this whole idea, how have you seen yourself evolve, and have you been influenced by all these hundreds of people that you've been talking to over the years?
Yeah, I've definitely been influenced, and my mornings have definitely become much calmer. In the beginning, I was definitely more of a kind of a harried figure in the morning, kind of running around, like I mentioned just before. But yeah, the main focus I've got for myself, apart from all the kind of like really practical tips like the working out, the meditation, the main focus that I've got is just to keep your mornings as calm as possible. For many of us, our actual working lives are kind of very, very stressful, and there's a lot going on. We're always checking email, we're always doing other things. So if you can keep your morning very calm and very peaceful, that's a great way to start your day.
Yeah, one of the interviews, she said she used the word uncluttered, and I really liked that word, because it did. It just exuded the sense of calm and the sense of just doing some real simple things to be able to achieve a morning.
Yeah, it's almost like the same feeling when you get back to nature. You know, if you're in the some big redwoods or something, you feel that kind of feeling of being back with, you know, what we originally were, and you can kind of bring that feeling to an extent into your morning.
So you interviewed a lot of different people. Who was one person who really stuck with you, regardless of whether the routine was really wacky or just because the interview itself was really memorable?
Yeah, we had a pretty one of my favorite ones was the General McChrystal interview that I previously mentioned. He's just very intense. He tells about his routine when he was in Iraq and Afghanistan, so that's fascinating. And we also interviewed the creator of Bulletproof Coffee, which is a brand of coffee. And his routine is great, and he's a great father, but it's a little crazy in places. But it's a great read. But yeah, especially his ideas when traveling. So you'll have to look at that.
What are some of his ideas?
Well, he talks about ambient light a lot, which we've looked at as well. So if he's in a hotel room and he sees any blinking lights, he'll make sure that he covers any of those. He'll carry a roll of like black tape, so he'll cover all those up. And I definitely see his point. I've heard about this before, but I personally don't follow that rule. But yeah, he'll cover up all those lights, and then he'll make sure that everything's perfect. And then he's an interesting fellow.
Well, and I think it was General McChrystal who has a different running route than his wife does, but they do their own separate things, and then they come together later on.
Yeah, it's very sweet. I think that's especially on weekends. They'll both go on separate running routes, and then they'll come together and they'll meet this little bagel shop, and his son or his son and daughter-in-law and the children, they'll all meet them there and have a coffee and bagel together. And I thought that was a very sweet Saturday routine.
Yeah, and it's interesting too how routines they then blend over into our weekends
and
how we basically live our life each and every morning. So as we wrap up here, Benjamin, what would you like to tell us? If we can change one thing, any words of encouragement?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would say, that this book is for everyone. So even if you feel like you're not a morning person, or like you're a parent, or you have a really demanding job, you can get a lot of insight from this, either from the words we wrote ourselves or from the interviews, that can really help you with your morning, even if just a small way. And the other thing I would point out is, when you create a morning routine, you should really think about it as starting your morning with intention. And when you start your morning with intention, you can kind of bring these wins from the day with you into the rest of the day. So for example, if you really want to get in meditation, or you really want to have that Zen moment of washing the dishes, you'll then feel better because you got that in. And we think that's a great thing that mornings give us. They kind of give you this blank slate that you can then kind of bring into the rest of the day.
Well, Benjamin Spall, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you very much, Kate.
He is writer, founding editor of the website My Morning Routine. This Hour of the Morning Show was produced by Sarah Hopeful, Brianne Chasso, and the Ideas Network director, Cheryl Gasser. Michael Derringer provided technical support. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation about mornings, you find it here on the Ideas Network.